The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Nick Catanese from Black Label Society, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
What's up, metalheads? This is Jack Frost. This is the Talking Metal. Turn it up!
Hey, what's up, world? This is Jacoby from Papa Roach, and you are listening to the infamous Talking Metal. So turn it up and stay tuned.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. As a listener of the Talking Metal podcast, enter METAL2, that's METAL2, when you check out, and you will save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions may apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com, official sponsor of the Talking Metal podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. It's time to rock. Broadcasting worldwide from John Astronomy's Silver Spacecraft, you are listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. So sit back, grab a drink, turn up the earbuds, and hit that oxygen Axl Rose style. Because this ship has just hit hyperspace. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome the greatest podcasters this side of Mars, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey, welcome to Talking Metal. This is part two of our Black Sabbath coverage.
Yes. Once again, we're going to talk about one of the greatest bands ever, Black Sabbath. And there is a lot of Black Sabbath stuff going on lately. We have Heaven and Hell, which is essentially Black Sabbath, in my opinion, out on tour. John and I just got our tickets to see them March 30th at Radio City Music Hall.
It's going to be an amazing show. Radio City is a great venue.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And we, of course, will give you guys a full report. We're going to talk with Vinny Appice, the drummer of Heaven and Hell and former drummer of Black Sabbath, in just a little bit. But right now, we are honored because the very first guest ever on Talking Metal has returned for, I think, your like third appearance on Talking Metal.
Third time the charm, my friend. Yes, it is.
Although you were on the 100th episode with just a brief snippet.
I made a cameo.
A cameo.
That's right.
I was in the
welcome ID.
You guys all know who this is, of course. This is Mr. CC Banana.
Who?
Oh, come on now.
Oh, of course. This who doesn't know CC Banana? Thank you,
Banana.
Guys.
You've been all over the press recently. What is going on?
Goddamn media hoe is what I am here, fellas. They can't get enough of me. I'm on all the websites. I'm on all the podcasts. I'm on fire.
Wow. So yeah. You had something up there. I saw in the headline it had something about CC Banana, Twisted Sister, and Axl Rose. What's the story?
You know, it's amazing. You can spend, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 days nonstop working on an article. You know, making sure the typing is good, making the photos look pretty, making the artist look as good as they can. But then the news site will single out the one teensy little, tiny little soundbite that gets the most hits. To their credit, they do that.
Right.
So
sure.
The one little bit that I asked all the guys in Twisted Sister, I interviewed them during their Twisted Christmas tour. I got an interview with all 5 of the guys asking them Christmas stuff, you see. And one of the questions was, what would you give Axl Rose for Christmas? Okay. And 3 out of 5 of them said a watch.
Wow.
To get him on stage on time, because Axl Rose notorious for showing up late, a couple of hours at a time. So apparently the media, the news site, they pick up on this and they run all the little spots about, you know, Dee Snider and JJ French and AJ Perro taking shots at Axl Rose.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the Guns N' Roses sites too picked up on this, and I found it very entertaining.
Yeah, well, I was picturing a big war between, you know, JJ French and Axl Rose, and you kind of in the middle as the
mediator,
yellow banana referee.
Oh, Absolutely. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. That's a pay-per-view special right there, my friend.
That is. But we're talking about Black Sabbath today, and Black Sabbath, one of my all-time favorite bands. We did our first Black Sabbath special a couple weeks back with the great Martin Popoff on the podcast, talking about his book, Doom Let Loose, which is highly recommended. It spawned a lot of email. So let's dip into the email bag and read one here. Oh man, you guys made an old Sabbath fan happy. I'm only 37, but I feel old. I can't wait to see Heaven and Hell in Toronto in March, and your interview with Martin Popoff was awesome. Maybe I'll see Martin there. That was the first time I've ever heard anyone say they like Sabotage as an album, and yes, I'm sick of the Paranoid album as well. But if you leave it alone for a year and then throw it on, you'll find that it's an incredible album, just overplayed. I love all the Ozzy years, but I agree, Sabotage is the best one. I saw the reunion tour in 1999 in Toronto with Pantera opening. Dimebag, RIP. What a kick-ass show. I hope Vinnie Paul gets back into it. He's absolutely the tightest drummer I've ever heard, period. The Sabs did not disappoint, but the obvious weak point was Ozzy. Kids, don't do drugs, or at least don't do acid every day for a whole year. You will end up like Ozzy. Anyways, guys, love your show, or more to the point, I love your enthusiasm for metal. I think some of the stuff you guys play is absolute crap, but it's okay. It's metal, and I don't have to buy it if it blows dead bears. Pirate metal? What the fuck? Excuse my language. I know a lot of young kids out there. We're trying to avoid the cursing. Parents, we do hear you, but it's just the way it goes here in Talking Metal. And blame Andrew for that one, by the way. Keep it up and keep getting the great interviews. Maybe you could interview Joe Siegler from black-sabbath.com. Pepper Keenan or Woody from COC would be cool. Phil Anselmo would be interesting to say the least, but no one will ever top Bumblefoot. Pepper Turkey. I'm the guy who sent you the Sweet Leaf Pepper Turkey MP3. Andrew. Andrew, thanks, dude, for listening. Yeah, man, I like pirate metal myself. I think Swashbuckle had some great tunes. They were funny guys. They wore costumes. We usually don't allow anybody on the show who wears a costume.
Hey, none of that.
Yeah.
Unless it's
of course,
CC Banana,
it's CC or John Astronomy.
Okay. Kiss.
Or Kiss. Yeah, Kiss are welcome on this show anytime.
I'm kidding. Or Motley Crue when they wear costumes. No, we're just kidding. Yeah.
But nobody else.
Nobody else. But CC Banana is here. CC, talk to me about Black Sabbath.
Well, Black Sabbath, of course, the band that I am so well versed in. I saw Black Sabbath, in fact, about 13 years ago.
Right.
In California, they had Motorhead opening up.
Okay.
And then Motorhead got sick, and they couldn't play, and the place went berserk, and everybody was very, very upset because Motorhead was not going to perform that night, and had to come out and make a big announcement that all the people could get their money back if they would leave right now and not see Black Sabbath.
Right.
That was the offer they had to make by default.
Yeah.
And like, you know, 8 people left out of like 18,000.
Right.
But very upsetting because, you know, of course, Lemmy is a fantastic singer. Golden throat, that man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
much better than mine. And it was interesting to watch that awkward moment when it could possibly have erupted into a giant, giant cattle stampede of people.
Where in California was this?
I've forgotten. It's been a long time.
Right.
And I was on drugs.
I got you.
My experience with Black Sabbath.
Very good. And who was the singer at that time?
There was Tony Martin.
Tony Martin.
The man with almost big of a bald head as Ronnie James Dio.
This reminds me of something. Tony Martin had tried out for Blue Murder, and the story Martin Popoff relays in his Doom Let Loose book is that he didn't get the job because of his receding hairline.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Because John Sykes likes the hair, and he likes a full head of hair.
I can appreciate that.
So I don't know. Little funny. Who knows if it's true? But that was a rumor, and I think Martin does report it as a rumor.
In those days, actually, that was like the days of like bigger haired rockers. You didn't have to be glam to still have lots of hair.
Yeah, that's
at
true.
That point.
That's true. But anyway,
I'm not mistaken. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That was the band that Vinny Appice was in, right? Blue Murder. He was also in that band, right? Wasn't he in that band in drama?
No, that was Carmine.
That was his brother.
There's two of them?
Carmine Appice. Not Carmine to be confused with his brother's last name, Appice.
Yeah, in fact, Carmine actually gave me a drum lesson back in the Blue Murder
days. Back when he was still Vinny.
Right. No.
I'm all confused.
See, boy, CeCe commands the room. I'm agreeing with him on things that I know are false.
But I know
just
because
he's commanding this room.
That's okay. People have that effect on me.
Yeah, but Carmine's a great guy. I recently been doing some work with him with Slingerland drums.
Cool.
And Gibson guitars, which are all part of the
same company,
Gibson
right?
family of brands.
Well, Vinny is out on tour with Heaven and Hell, or about to go out on tour with Heaven and Hell, and he also has a band called Three-Legged Dog, which we're going to talk about with him. Three-Legged Dog is a great band. I recently purchased their CD, and I did it online, actually. You can pick it up at parisrecords.com. That's P-E-R-R-I-S records.com. Is that how you...
Paris. That's how I always pronounced it, Paris Records.
And this is a great band, Carlos Cavazo is
in
the
band.
Quiet Riot fan.
Absolutely.
Are you a Quiet Riot fan?
Oh, a very, very big Quiet Riot fan.
Yes.
That's why I picked up on the Three-Legged Dog, because I knew that Carlos was going to be in that band.
Yeah. We got Jimmy Bain from Dio and Rainbow, of course. Chaz West, who played in Lynch Mob and Bonham. Brian Young, who did some playing with David Lee Roth. And, of course, Vinny on drums.
Who's also played, of course, with Sabbath, Dio, and some might not know this, John Lennon and Rick Derringer.
Yeah. Yep, that is true.
Very impressive pedigree.
Absolutely.
That's true. So we're going to come back with a full episode with CeCe Banana in the near future. And in the meantime, let's finish this podcast with a great interview with Vinny Appice. All interviews and spoken dialogue in the podcast are copyright 2007 by TalkingMetal.com. They may not be reproduced or rebroadcast without written permission of Talking Metal. Support all the bands and artists featured on the show by purchasing their music and seeing them perform live.
And don't forget about GoDaddy.com.
Yeah, we almost forgot it, man.
Do not forget about the great sponsor of Talking Metal, the official sponsor.
Yeah, we need you guys to go to Talking Metal and to go to GoDaddy. CeCe Banana, you have a website, right?
I do. It's ccbanana.com, conveniently enough.
Right. Do you need another website?
I will in the very near future. Where am I going to go for that?
You're going to go to GoDaddy.com to get that.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But first, you're going to go to TalkingMetal.com, and then you're going to click on one of the three links and the banners to GoDaddy.
Okay.
And you're going to pick which one is going to work better for you, because there are some where you get a percentage off. There are some where you save X amount of money if you spend X amount of money. And all three are amazing, and you got to pick which one works best for you.
That's fantastic. I'll do that.
A friend of yours, Maul Stanley.
Oh, Maul Stanley. I hate that bastard. Go ahead.
Do you know if, does he still have a website?
He has one at, what you call it, it's called maulstanley.com.
Oh, okay. I was going to suggest that you tell Maul Stanley to get his website through talkingmetal.com using those GoDaddy links.
And you know what you could do if your, you know, 1 year or 2 year contract is going to expire with whoever you're with, renew it with GoDaddy.
Oh, okay.
And you actually don't even have to wait for it to expire, I found out. You can just call up GoDaddy or, you know, use the links in Talking Metal and switch it.
If you do call them, give them one of the Talking Metal codes, which are Metal 1, Metal 2, Metal 3.
Absolutely. Write those down. Remember them.
They'll all get you a discount when you check out at GoDaddy, if you're not using the links on TalkingMetal.com. But Maul Stanley is an interesting guy. This guy is a combination of Paul Stanley of Kiss and
Darth Maul.
Yeah, and
Star Wars.
He's I don't know what it is, genetically cloned after both of them, maybe.
The twisted fusion of rock and roll and science fiction. He's the Dark Lord. He combines the Dark Lord of the Sith and the dark side of rock and roll.
Yeah.
He's evil, but he rocks.
And that's M-A-U-L, Stanley.com.
Yes. Yeah. Not like shopping mall, right. Stanley, but mall, M-A-U-L.
Like
you're
going
to
maul someone.
Right.
Like, or like that.
You know, an animal will maul someone.
Right. Mallstanley.com.
Maul
I often
Stanley.
Get some traffic from people with bad typing skills trying to go to paulstanley.com.
Oh,
they
really?
Accidentally come to maulstanley.com.
That's great.
It works out nicely that way.
That is very
not
good.
Not that I mean. I mean, Maul gets the traffic, not me, because I'm not Maul Stanley.
Right.
Now, was he
Maybe
in
not.
Star Wars?
Maul Stanley?
In, no. Darth Maul was in...
Right, but I was wondering if Maul Stanley was Maybe. Also in Star Wars.
Well, you know, Maul Stanley, he has been on several TV shows so far. He's been on the Conan O'Brien show, talking to that wow. damn dog of his.
Oh, yeah, he's
by
great.
Triumph. Right. He's also been on VH1, on one of their Star Wars specials. So okay. the guy's getting around. He's got a buzz going. He's going to be appearing very soon at the 30th anniversary of Star Wars
wow.
at the Star Wars 30th anniversary convention in California in May. Maul Stanley will be there, entourage en tow.
That is amazing.
Indeed.
Man.
Sweet, yeah.
Will CC Banana be there?
CC Banana actually has something special planned for the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. He may just once again break out his Star Wars incarnation, Bananakin Skywalker.
Bananakin Skywalker,
oh my
I remember
God.
That one.
Lots
Peel the
stuff.
Force, fellas.
Peel the Force.
That's right.
Peel the Force.
Very good.
Very good.
May the fruit be with you both.
Let's bring it back a little Black Sabbath, a little Vinnie Appice, a little three-legged dog, a little heaven and hell. We're going to get into this interview right now, and we're going to end today's podcast with some music off the Pod Safe Music Network, a great song called Frozen Summer by the band Three-Legged Dog, featuring Vinnie Appice and our good friend Jimmy Bain, who, of course, also was in Dio back in those classic... In the classic Dio lineup, which for me was always Vinnie, Jimmy,
Vivian Campbell.
Although I do like Craig Goldie a lot too.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool.
So and Claude Schnell.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Keyboards,
I like Claude
of course.
Schnell.
Yeah. Anyways, here it is, an interview John and I conducted with Vinnie Appice. Thank you to CC Banana for joining us, and thanks to you guys for listening. Check it out.
We are very honored because on the line we have Vinnie Appice. Vinnie, how are you?
I'm doing great. You even said my last name right.
Yeah, well, that's something I wanted to ask you. Now, I've heard Carmine's last name, your brother, pronounced Appice, but I've, you know, always would hear Dio pronounce your name as Appice.
Actually, Carmine's not my brother, that's why. No, actually, we both pronounce it differently, and... Carmine, when he first started, did pronounce it Appice. And actually, I think there's an old Vanilla Fudge album, live album, near the beginning, I think it was called. And on there, Timmy introduces Carmine. He goes, Carmine Appice on the drums. One of the albums, he says that. It's
right.
So funny. And then everybody kept pronouncing it Appice. And then when he hooked up with Rod Stewart, Rod used to call him Appice. So he stuck with that. And then I'm 10 years younger than Carmine. I got in the business. I said Appice because that's the way my parents said it. So ever since then, man, it's just been, how do you say your name? Then we have an older brother, Frank. He says Appice.
Right. Somewhere had a pronunciation thing and it said Appice. So I was going to ask you, where does that fall into everything?
That's the real Italian pronunciation.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's the Italian pronunciation. And then my family says Appice and Carmine says Appice.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. In my family, the last name was Pacifico or Pacifici. And my grandmother had three brothers. And one spells it Pacific, one Pacifico, and one Pacifici. So it's kind of like the same thing. Even different yeah. spellings in the last name.
Oh, man, that's confusing.
So, Vinny, I wanted to ask you, you have a great new record out. By a project? Is it a project or a band? It's Three-Legged Dog.
It's both.
It's both.
It's well, two in one.
Now you brought back the great Jimmy Bain. Is well, not brought back. I mean, you've been playing with him on and off again for years. What is it that attracts you to Jimmy's playing so much?
Well, actually, some people say we did. You know, he sometimes does come back from the dead, and this time he did. And he actually he was the one to call me about 2.5 years ago, and because we haven't played together in a while, you know, since the Dio day, actually since World War III and then Dio, yeah. And, you know, he wanted to put a band together, so I went, cool, no problem, and let's get together and see how it works. And so we actually started looking around for people in L.A. And actually one of the first guitar players I called was Eddie Van Halen, because I thought they were not doing anything at that point, you know.
Right.
And we just sat there and said, let's start at the top, you know.
Yeah.
And guys like Eddie usually don't get phone calls from people going, hey dude, what are you doing? You want to start a band?
So did you actually talk to Eddie about it?
Yeah, I know Eddie from a long time ago, and yeah, he called me back, and we talked. He goes, man, that sounds great. I told him, me and Jimmy, and, you know, put a cool killer band together. I don't know if you're still doing what you're doing. And he said him and Alex, you know, were still carrying on as Van Halen and just taking some time off. But, yeah, I really appreciate it, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, so.
Great guitar players on the record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The record came out fantastic. But that's where we started from. Then we just went through a bunch of people, and then we finally wound up with, you know, what's on the album, which is Jimmy Vane on bass, me on drums, Chaz West, who sang with Bonham on vocals, Carlos Cavazzo from Quiet Riot on guitar, and we have another guitar player. His name is Brian Young, and he played with David Lee Roth.
You guys kind of formed this band out of Hollywood All-Stars. Is that how it happened? Was Hollywood All-Stars together first?
Well, first me and Jimmy started trying to put a band together, and then during that time, Krieger, who's the drummer for a band called Trophia from the 80s, 90s, and then he played with Ike Turner for a while, he had an offer to play a gig at Great White's benefit concert. It was for the fire victims at that tragedy that they had. So, you know, we all wanted to help out. So I said I would do it. Jimmy was going to do it. Jeff Pilsen from Dokken. So we got a whole bunch of people together. And we went up and played, and it was me, Jeff Pilsen, Krieger. We played with two drummers, and then a different guitar player, and Chaz got up and sang. And everybody enjoyed it, and then all of a sudden, you know, some of the clubs around town said, hey, man, we want to book you guys, you know. So we went, that'd be funny, you know, let's go play. So we started playing around, then we got an agent. Then that band turned into Carlos playing guitar, Chaz on vocals, Jeff Pilsen on bass, and me and Krieger on drums. We had two drummers. And we were just doing it to have some fun, you know. We're just playing all the stuff from our histories. Then Jeff went off to play with Foreigner, and then we got Jimmy Vane on bass. And then we started getting a lot of gigs, you know, good gigs, you know, good money. And we were having a good time, so we just did it. And then we kept the original thing going, and then we eventually wound up with Who's in Three-Legged Dog. And got a deal, and then we made the record.
Very cool.
The record sounds great, by the way. We encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to pick it up online at parisrecords.com. That's where I bought it.
And that's Paris spelled P-E-R-R-I-S.
Correct.
Not like France. Yeah, and, you know, CD came out in October, and we've been getting really great reviews, and it's been nominated for the best CD of 2006 on a lot of internet radio stations and websites and things. So we got a great response.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, good reviews and everything, so we're really happy with it.
We're both enjoying the record over here at Talking Metal.
And, oh, thank you.
You got a lot of other stuff going on. Heaven and Hell is about to embark on a tour. John and I just bought our tickets to see you at Radio City Music Hall on March 30th.
Oh, you're lucky you got tickets.
Yeah, we got them on the first day, like right at the... It was actually the pre-sale we got the tickets.
Yeah, because I think the pre-sale sold out in like minutes, and then the whole place sold out in 45 minutes when they put it on sale.
Yeah, I actually heard 20 minutes. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it went quick. I mean, you know... We heard the news and went, wow, that is cool.
Did you ever think that the classic Dio-era Black Sabbath would reunite?
No, because I thought, you know, I played with them with Ozzy when they did the first reunion. I did the European tour.
Yes.
And then I was on the American tour with Bill Ward. And I just thought, well, it's funny because before that we even did... I did a family tree of Black Sabbath, and it went up to the point of Dehumanizer when we were together for that.
Right.
And then you look at that tree, and you just go, you know, this is probably finished, you know? I mean, how much larger can this get? Or, you know, and then comes the reunion with Ozzy. You know, Bill's in the band, he played some, and then I did the European tour, then we did the thing together, and then I thought, wow, that's got to be it, you know? And I would have never thought that they would get back together, Ronnie would get back with Tony and Geezer and Bill. And then next thing I hear is they're doing that. I went, fuck, that's fantastic, you know?
It's interesting that you mentioned the Bill Ward thing, because I wanted to ask you, I mean, you were basically kind of waiting in the wings, and if Bill, for whatever reason, was unable to perform, you were going to jump right in there. Is this? Correct me if I'm wrong. But,
yeah, that was the weirdest tour I've ever done. What happened was I was on tour with Dio, and then Sabbath were on tour. You know, they're just starting their reunion rehearsals with Bill, and he had a medical issue that came up, and he couldn't do it. So they called me. I was trying to work it out to get over there and do it, and I did, and so I played on 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the European tour, which was great, and then they took 2 months off, and then they started in the States at the beginning of the new year. This is the year 2000, and I was supposed to play on it, but then Bill was, you know, he said he can do it, so they let him play, and then they wanted me on the whole tour just in case Bill had a problem while he was playing. I would just hop up on play, you know. I knew the stuff and everything, so I went, okay. So it was a strange tour, because the first week, you know, I'm actually on the side of the stage and all taped up, ready to hop on the drums.
Wow.
And then Bill was okay. Then the second week, I started getting further away. And by, like, the end of the first month, I was all the way out at the soundboard taking pictures. And you know, I think Bill's okay. If something happens, I just run, you know? And it was pretty interesting. But it sucked, because if something was to happen and I had to play, I was getting out of shape, you know, for
right.
not playing. And, I mean, it's practicing, but still, you need to play full up, you know, keep
right.
in shape. So, but that was the weirdest story, you know, pulling up to these gigs, knowing you're there, but you're not playing, you know. It was weird. It's,
yeah.
It's hard to do that.
Yeah, like watching the band from, you know,
yeah,
from the,
it kinda sucked,
audience.
Huh?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was great, but it kind of sucked. It was bittersweet, you know.
Right. Did you play at all during any sound checks or anything like that?
I did, and then I broke. Then I played Bill's drums, and then that night he broke a head, and he's kind of superstitious about that.
Wow.
So that was the end of me playing his drums. I love Bill. Bill's a great guy. He was one of my heroes growing up, and I'm just glad that I got to know Bill, you know.
Very cool.
The one of a kind Bill is.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sure this is the question everybody is asking you in these interviews, but why not call it Black Sabbath, this Heaven and Hell tour? I mean, I was getting into metal back in the early 80s, and I discovered Black Sabbath. Ronnie Dio was the singer, and you were the drummer, you know, and,
right.
and to me, Heaven and Hell is Black Sabbath, and why not just call it Black Sabbath?
Well, I think it was more of a legal thing with the different parties involved that is why they're not using the name. And I think myself that calling it something else like this, Heaven and Hell, it adds a new freshness to this, especially to this lineup, and especially since they just finished all the reunion things with Ozzy and Bill and the original lineup, you know, that this comes out and it's called something else and something that really states what it is, which is Heaven and Hell, which is Ronnie singing on vocals, you know?
Right.
So I kind of like the idea, and you know what? It doesn't matter. I think they could have called it anything they wanted to, and it would have, it's doing, like, phenomenal so far. All the buzz that's around, like Radio City sold out, and Canadian gigs are selling out, and we've just gotten so much overwhelming response that they could have really called it anything, because everybody knows who it is.
Right.
And actually, maybe calling it something else created more talk about it, you know?
Definitely. Now, you guys are going to start up in Canada, and then after the, I think, 11 or so Canadian dates, then the Radio City date happens.
Right. We're starting in Canada, yeah, it's about 11 shows. Then we come into New York, do that show, And then after that, I don't know how far after we're going to South America, and then Japan, Australia, and then back to Europe, and then back to the States, and then possibly Russia, and
wow.
Everywhere. We're going everywhere.
That's so great, man.
Are you guys in rehearsal for that now?
No, we start in 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
We're going to rehearse in probably a couple of weeks, go in, rehearse with the stage set, and then we'll go out.
That's great. Now, are you guys going to do the rehearsals in the U.S. here?
Yeah, we're going to do them in California, in L.A.
Cool. Very cool.
And I guess we can expect just all the great classic Mob Rules, Heaven and Hell songs, plus maybe these three new ones. Any tracks off of Dehumanizer, you think?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do tracks off all the albums we've done together, and then a couple of these new ones, too. So it's going to be quite a set list, and it should be very, very powerful set list.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's going to be all classics.
Now, Vinny, I had a couple of gear questions for you, because I play drums as well, and when I first saw you set up, you know, your setup, I immediately took my bass drum and I moved it over and I put the toms on a stand. I wanted to set them up like yours and change my setup when I first saw you play, so
wow.
That was cool.
Have you kept it that way?
You know what? What happened was I added another bass drum, so it pretty much always did stay there, but I just added another bass drum in there now.
Yeah, it's really weird, because when drummers play with single bass, a lot of drummers just put the bass drum straight ahead of them.
Right.
Right? But then when they add another bass drum, all of a sudden they move the right bass drum on an angle and the left
right.
bass drum on an angle. You know, it's really weird, but I've always played with my right bass drum. It looks like double bass, but there's only one bass drum.
Right.
And you know, I just like the fact that that's the way my foot, when I sit down, my foot's angled a little bit, and that I like the pedal to be in line with my foot, and that gives me room for the toms to go down a little lower in front, you know,
cool.
be right in front of the snare. So I've always played like that, but, you know, I know it's a little odd, because most people have the toms coming in on the bass drum, but it's a different setup that way.
Right, right, definitely. And I know that, notice now that you're using, like, the double-headed toms, but in a lot of your past kits, you were just using single-headed tom.
Yeah, right. I used to use all single-headed toms, and they sound really, really punchy, you know, with a good PA, put the mics underneath, they just really punched out.
Right.
But then I started playing doubles in the studio, and then I started, you know, messing around with them, and I got used to the tone of the doubles, and I like those now, too.
That's cool.
So now I'm all back to doubles, except the bass drum, you know, I always take the front head off almost.
Right, right. And are you going to have one of the big classic sets for this tour?
Oh, yeah.
I just
ordered, we went over to DW and designed a new kit. It's going to be this new amazing wood that they found in some foreign country that sounds great. And it's got a great look to it, and it's going to be just a whole brand new thing that they haven't put out yet, DW. And it's going to have four flying toms, a lot of toms. It's going to be a big kit,
cool.
A lot of cymbals and stuff, yeah.
That sounds great, man.
Hey, Vinny, I wanted to ask you about John Lennon. Now, did you actually do some recording with the late, great John Lennon?
Yeah, what we actually did, we met him by doing hand claps on the song Whatever Gets You Through the Night. I had a band in New York. And this is when I was like 16. It was a 9-piece band. We used to rehearse at the Record Plant Studios in New York, and our manager was the owner of the place. So John used to work upstairs, and we were great friends with Jimmy Iovine. And he used to work with John. They needed hand claps, so him and Elton John were in the studio. They go, "Well, we need hand claps. Hey, let's call the band. Call Vinny and the band." We come down, we go in the studio, and we can see John and Elton in the control room, you know, like freaking out. So we did hand claps on that, and then John asked Jimmy, who's that? Because, "Well, that's the band that Roy manages and I'm producing. They rehearse upstairs every night." Oh. 2 days later, John and Yoko come walking in, sit down in our rehearsal room, watch us rehearse.
Wow.
You know?
Unbelievable.
Pretty cool shit. And then he used to come up and hang out, you know? And then he asked us to do some stuff with him in the studio where we just played to him a track, like a video they released. There's a couple of videos, and we played to an existing track. Then we did a gig with him at the New York Hilton. We played Imagine and Slipping and Sliding with him. And and then we did go in the studio where he produced Roy, the owner of the Record Plant's wife. She was a singer. We went in and recorded 8 songs with him as producer.
Wow.
And then I used to go to school the next day.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I used to go back to school and go, shit, man, I don't want to be here.
To think that all the other kids are probably just, you know, doing whatever they do, and you were
actually playing.
Probably
went to a baseball game the night before, you know.
Right, and you're playing and recording with John Lennon. I mean, that is great. That is
unbelievable. We worked with John Lennon, and Noah met Elton John, and just played with him the night before, and now we're in school doing the fucking algebra or something. You know?
It's great.
Well, Vinny, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Metal. I wanted to just relay a story that when I was 15, Dio was doing, the band, of course, was doing a record signing in Melrose Park, Illinois, and you guys were all up there kind of behind a table signing the Intermission record, and we were told, and I also had a poster, so I bought the record, I had a poster, and I was told that I could only have one autograph from each guy in the band, and I got up there, and you signed my record, and you were like, what about the poster? I was like, oh, they told me I can only have one autograph. You said, give me that poster, and you signed it. So I really appreciate that. You've always been cool to the fans.
We always did that. You know, it was always the people, other people going, well, they tried to make the line move, you know.
Right.
It was
right.
Probably a long line, but, you know, we always, give me that thing, let me sign up for it. You know, hey, if it wasn't for you guys, you know, the fans, we wouldn't be here, you know. And so you got to take care of one hand washes the other.
Definitely. And we just, as metalheads, thank you for all the great hard rock and heavy metal music you've brought us through the years.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm just, you know, I'm just honored to be in the position to be doing this, you know. And then going back out with this band, you know, I'm just totally excited.
Great stuff, Bill. Everybody should check out Heaven and Hell on tour, and also pick up the Three-Legged Dog CD.
Yeah, check out Three-Legged Dog, and then I have a Vinny MySpace. You can go there, Vinny with an I-E, not a Y, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on there, VinnyAppice.com, too.
Yeah, we will definitely link all those sites in the Talking Metal show notes on TalkingMetal.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, you guys, and I'll see you in New York then, huh?
Absolutely.
March 30th.
I'm glad you got the tickets. That's cool.
Very cool. Thanks, Vinny.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.